Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We are going to take a look at the wonderful and delicious world of beans here on the program. I'm telling you, I am really looking forward to this book, Bean by Bean. It's the Bean by Bean cookbook, Crescent Dragon Wagon, our guest author, and she'll be with us in just a couple of minutes. But first, you know, one of the all-time bean cookers of Wisconsin, Judith Sears Poisson, joins us.
I had no idea that I had that title. Wow.
Yeah, and she's here to help raise some money that we need to pay for the programs like this one that keep you informed and entertained. That's how WPR works. The people who use it help pay for it. So I hope you'll go to WPR.org and call 888-202-2552. Do it right now to ensure the future of the programs you count on.
And you know who's going to be really happy if we get lots of pledges?
Me.
The bean counters.
Oh, the bean counters. Oh, that's a good one. I like that one.
I just came up with that. I was pretty proud of myself. Well, Larry, last hour the goal was 40 pledges, and we heard from 31 listeners, so close. Thank you so much for those pledges. But now our goal is to get 65 pledges by 12:30. Meeting this goal really helps make sure that WPR has the money we need to fund the programs you rely on. So give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help us meet this goal. 65 pledges by 12:30.
The Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio is kind of like a statewide town hall. People come together to hear about topics and issues they care about, to ask questions, and to share information, really.
And I think it's kind of like a potluck, too, where everybody brings something to the table, maybe a bean casserole, because you benefit from this community. We're asking you to help pay for it and asking you to make me stop making bean jokes. Your support is a very important piece of what makes the Ideas Network possible. Be a part of this great tradition with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And something a little very special, I think, going on in this drive, pledge any amount and you'll be entered in a drawing. It's a trip for two on a garden tour of London and the surrounding area. With me.
With you.
All right. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm telling you, the details are online. So go to WPR.org. Take a look online at what you're going to find there is a wonderful trip. And while you're there, why don't you pledge too at WPR.org and or by calling 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, Larry's going to be talking with Crescent Dragon Wagon. She's a James Beard award-winning author about how to grow and cook beans. Discussions like this are possible because of your financial support. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs, and as an added incentive, we have something special for you, and it's actually the first person who contributed today contributed $120.
And I'm guessing they might have chosen to get the Bean by Bean cookbook. You can do that, too, when you donate $120 or more. It's a great book, like Larry said, lots of great recipes. Some really familiar recipes, new takes on familiar recipes, and some that I've never even thought of or heard of. So it's a great mix of recipes. You can ask for it now when you make your pledge of $120. But your gift of any amount is really appreciated at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving couldn't be easier, either at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Just need your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
And you can save time and money by using a credit card if you can. Better yet, start automatic sustaining donations from your bank account. You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 64 pledges in the next
little over 80 minutes
or thereabouts. So help us out now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, you can ask for Bean by Bean, a cookbook, with your pledge of $120 or more. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And with your pledge of any amount, you'll be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour to London, England. In fact, my next-door neighbor gave me a check and said, here, sign me up for Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well,
I've got to do that.
I wondered why you were rustling
I've got a check out here Karen. And she said, put me in. And do I get to draw it? I said, no, it's not me. It's all done by computer.
Well, there's not much time left in this pledge drive. It ends tomorrow evening. So we'd really like to hear from you now. Donate at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Do it right now. And thank you.
Thank you very much. You want to take this? Oh, no. Let's see. Somebody can. Cynthia. All right.
We'll
get that. I want to make sure to get that check processed today, and I might forget. And I certainly don't want to forget Karen's check. And I'm not forgetting our guest either, who is Crescent Dragon Wagon. And I believe she's with us. Are you with us, Crescent?
I'm with you.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's wonderful to have you along. Crescent is James Beard. Let me go through the award-winning author of 7 cookbooks. Her most recent is Bean by Bean, a cookbook. She's appeared on many different media outlets, including NPR's The Splendid Table. Lives on a farm in Vermont. She grows, among other things, her own beans and joins us today from the studios of KSMU in Springfield, Missouri.
Yes, here I am. And it is bright spring here. Is it springy there?
It is very springy here. And it's been springy for about a month, to be perfectly honest.
It's kind of beautiful and scary at the same time.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, and a lot of people are worried. You know, I have some friends who are in the wine business, and they will be, and they have grapes, and those grape vines are budding out. And if we suddenly get a cold snap, they could lose their crop. So for some people, it's this warm weather isn't. It's worrisome. Let's put it that way. It is definitely worrisome. Well, I tell you what, I love your book.
Thank you.
And my wife can't wait to get her hands on it, to be perfectly honest.
Well, both of you should hold hands over it and join in. When y'all invited me to be on, you should know that I would not be on this earth were it not for a fateful meeting at a class in Romantic French Poetry at Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, my goodness.
Where my parents met in 19, I believe it was 32.
Oh, my goodness.
So I actually have after my father died, I kept his keychain, because I feel like keychains have a lot of mojo of the person that was there. And
oh, that's wonderful.
So I fondle the University of Wisconsin at Madison keychain every time I get in my car.
Oh, what a wonderful story. You tell such great stories, and it was one of the things I love about the book. I love the little stories you have with the recipes and the things you talk about. They're just wonderful. And beans, you must be, I'm not sure what prompted you to write about beans, but, well, what did prompt you, as a matter of fact?
Well, I actually wrote a book called The Bean Book in 1972. I was 17 years old. I was a self-employed freelance writer. And like all freelance writers, I didn't have an income as much as income events. But I loved to cook, and I loved to feed other people, and I loved to entertain. And beans sort of fit all of those criteria. Plus, it doesn't cost very much to do it, which was extremely good for me.
When you're 17 years old, yeah.
When you're 17 years old. But, you know, right now, given what everyone is going through with economic uncertainties, and given all of our concerns about, well, not all of us, but hopefully more of us that are awakened to it than aren't, about sustainability, environmental questions, and then also personal health, it's kind of beans moment again in the eyes of human beings. I mean, beans have always been quietly doing their things, which are marvelous things, and we can talk about some of them. So in the years between 1972 and 2012 to see the role that the status of beans have changed. You know, back then they were just poor people's food and people wrote off.
Yeah.
And now when we also add in farm-to-table movement, the movement towards heritage plants and vegetables, the varieties that are available are so many more than there were, and people are really interested in it. They're not. I actually tell the story on the first bean book. The first stop that the company sent me to was Chicago, and I had my little notes on, you know, go to the Palmer House, which is a pretty fancy hotel.
Yeah.
And I get out, 17 years old, I'm in my blue jeans, I'm from Arkansas, and I get into the car. They tell me, take a taxi, Palmer. I get in the taxi, and the guy looks in the rearview mirror kind of curiously, trying to put the way that I looked together with Palmer House. And he said, so, what brings you to town? And I say, a book. I'm an author. I've written a book. I'm here to promote my book. And he said, really? What kind of book did you write? And I said, it's a cookbook. It's about beans. It's called The Bean Book. And there was a pause, and he looked in the rearview mirror again, and he said, who the hell do they think is going to buy a book like that? And to go from that kind of reception to present day enthusiasm,
oh man,
is fairly remarkable.
It's wonderful. And you know, you talked about the many varieties. How many varieties are there out there in the world?
There are truly countless. The legume family is vast, and then you add to that that the same beans sometimes have two or three common names.
Yeah.
So one bean that's called the Appaloosa is sometimes also called the Dapple Gray, and other people might call it the Anasazi. There are tons and tons of varieties, names, and it's not just, you know, what we think of as dry beans. It's fresh green beans.
Yeah.
It's peas. They're also in the legume family. It's peanuts. Peanuts are in the legume family. It truly is beyond count. And there are certainly lots of legumes that are not edible, but even the edible ones, there are thousands and thousands of kinds.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, if you know how to cook, once you understand basic bean cookery, then you can parlay that knowledge. And, you know, if you have a terrific black bean soup, it might be really different if you made it with Christmas limas, but it would still be delicious. And once again, it would change if you did it with pintos or Anasazi beans. Or I'll tell you my favorite bean variety name, which is right to the point at this moment, is Mortgage Lifter. There's one bean variety by that name. It's a big, fat, white bean that cooks up very creamy and good. And although it's said to have gotten its name because the guy saved the seeds that his grandfather brought from the old country, and the farm was threatened to be foreclosed on, and he planted them and had such a bumper crop that he was able to catch up and go substantially towards paying off his mortgage. You know, I also consider beans mortgage lifters in, you know, when you've got a limited amount of money to spend and you still want to eat well, beans can help lift off the burden of the mortgage because they're actually healthy and inexpensive.
Yeah, that's the great part about it, or one of the great parts about it, aside from tasting great.
I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I've lost sound again over here.
Oh, are you hearing me now?
Oh, okay, there, we got it. Wiggled a little thing, a little plug-in thing, and we're back.
Oh, that's good. And if he can even raise your volume up a little bit, that'd be wonderful too.
He's raising.
All right, good. We have a.
All right.
All right, let's go to David in South Milwaukee. He has a question or a comment. Hi, David.
Good morning, folks. I'm wondering if you're familiar with leaky gut syndrome. I'm running across it in the literature here and there. The first place I read about it was in the paleo diet. And it's related, I think one of the foods he said was beans. If you're familiar with it, what compound causes it, and how might one counteract that compound?
You know, I had never heard of it until a comment. I was on Tom Ashbrook's On Point, and there were comments, some reader comments on that. I have to say, in general, I have a problem with the paleo diet, because there's nothing we can eat on Earth that is as it was in Paleolithic times.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing. Even if you eat the same percentage of animal products and, you know, nuts, and it just everything is different because of the way that the animals are raised. Even if you go out bow hunting or muzzle-loading rifle hunting,
yeah,
you know, the turkeys are going to be different because, yep, DDT is systemic. But to go back to your question, what I know about beans, first of all, I know how to degasify them, which is what most people's problem with them is. You know, pretty much all foods have an upside and a downside. Beans have way more upsides that I can see than, you know, and mm-hmm, I've just spent 6 years delving into them and eating them. Now, there are weird things out there. You know, there's a tiny percentage of people who have an allergic reaction to a compound in fava beans. It's actually called favism. It's like an infinitesimal percentage of it. And most beans, you know, I'm sure we'll talk later about how to degasify them.
Yes.
So that's the main difficulty people have. But, you know, all plants have toxins in them. And, for example, potatoes, if you ever peel a potato and it has a green cask, you know, just under the skin, potatoes are in the same family as deadly nightshade. And when they're green, that solanum is the name of that plant family. You want to peel it until that potato is really white so you're not getting any of the toxicity from that. But the only bean, a lot of beans have a sugar that is somewhat indigestible to humans called oligosaccharides. Some beans have very little. Lentils, split peas, black-eyed peas, very few oligosaccharides. The larger beans, chickpeas, particularly black soybeans, they have more oligosaccharides. They're sugars that are indigestible, so they ferment in the process of digestion, hence the problem with flatulence.
Yeah.
But if you soak them overnight, the oligosaccharides are water-soluble. So the trick, the main first responder trick, or first preventer trick, is soak them overnight in a large quantity of water, drain that water, and then cook them. You can even do a second soak if you like, and you'll just remove all of those pesky sugars that, you know, interfere with it really and truly. And then there are other things to know. New crop beans are much, and you know, one of the things is most food will tell you a lot if you take the time to, in effect, listen to it. You could call me the bean whisperer. But, for example, you know, a good bean, when you cook it from scratch, its finished texture is creamy and pretty irresistible. Now, if you cook a bean and it doesn't reach that point eventually, and it just like to never soften, and the bean sort of, you know, eventually kind of goes into little chunks, but it never gets that creaminess, you're using beans that are too old. You're using beans that are a couple of years old instead of ones that are in a recent crop. And I wish that they would put I wish they'd put expiration dates or best by dates,
yeah,
on. As it is now, the best way to get it is to buy somewhere where there's rapid turnover of stock. If you go to a store and you see a stack of beans in little bags, and you know, if you think, oh, this is an interesting thing, and you pick it up, oh, I've never heard of Horn of Africa beans,
mm-hmm,
giraffe beans, or whatever it is, and the bag is a little dusty, don't buy it.
Yeah.
now, there are places online that you can get. The beans are more expensive, but they come with a guarantee that they're that year's crop. Rancho Gordo is one, and Purcell Mountain Farms is one. And so you know the beans are fresh, and they're going to cook up to that luscious smoothness. Luscious once you add the various seasonings and flavors and oils and spices, and I'm sure we'll get into discussing some of the ways and means by which we can make beans really shine. Now, that's a long way around the barn, but I just, you know, I'm a very life-affirmative kind of eater and cook, and I, you know, every new diet that comes down the pike, I look at a little bit askance because I look at what have people been nourishing, sustaining, connecting over, getting sensual pleasure from for thousands and thousands of years. And once we moved from being hunter and gatherers to agriculturalists, which we have many, many generations of our race having been that, meaning the human race. I mean, the first two foods that were domesticated were barley and beans.
Yeah.
In particular, lentils and chickpeas in the Middle East, while simultaneously in the Americas, the Native Americans were also moving from hunting and gathering to agriculture, and they were doing corn and beans, or in the Andes, quinoa and a different kind of beans. And many, many, many bean varieties are native to the Americas. So don't worry too much about leaky guts unless you've experienced it. My view is don't worry. Eat healthy food with people you love. Cook it well. And
you'll be fine.
That's just my view.
Thank you. We're talking today with Crescent Dragon Wagon. She is the author of 7 cookbooks. She's a James Beard Award-winning author, as a matter of fact. Her most recent is Bean by Bean, a cookbook. You can join in with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd love to hear from you here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio here, and it's our spring membership drive. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson joins us to help us raise some more money in support of the programs that you enjoy on this station. I hope you'll make your gift now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. The amount's up to you. We appreciate every donation because every dollar you give makes a difference. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Judith, how are we doing on our pledges?
Well, we're making a little progress. We've gotten 8 pledges so far, but that means we're looking for 57 more pledges in the next hour. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, please help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I was thinking about some of our regular guests. We have Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the UW School of Veterinary Medicine, Scott Craven, our wildlife guy, or one of them at least, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, our weather guys, and Peter Green, who's our computer guy, and Bill Volkert, and Noel Cutright, talking about birds. So lots of them.
I know. And we cover topics that are near and dear to all of our hearts, really. They give you advice and ideas because you've come to trust and appreciate these guests. Support this program with your dollars. It's easy. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you can receive a copy of this book, Bean by Bean. It's a thank you gift for your pledge of $120 or more. Your pledge will help support the program, and you'll enjoy this thank you gift forever. It's a wonderful book, the Bean by Bean book. For a pledge of $120 or more, your pledge, any amount, supports WPR programs. So give now, whatever the amount, at WPR.org or at 888 888- 202-252-5252.
You know, I know how much all of you appreciate our regular guests. And the thing that really brought that home to me was Scott Craven had a conflict last August. We couldn't get him on the first Wednesday when he's usually on. And the other Wednesdays didn't look good. And I said, you know, Scott, just take August off. No big deal. Well, that first Wednesday rolled around. I'd totally forgotten that. And we had someone else on, another great guest. And the phones start lighting up. But they're not questions for the guests. They're questions, where's Scott Craven? Why isn't Scott Craven on? It's the first Wednesday of the month. Shouldn't it be Scott Craven? So I know that all of you out there listen regularly, know who's going to be on, and wait to hear them. So because of that, we need you to show your support right now.
You get great information you can use from these guests and so many others. Crescent is doing a wonderful job today talking with us about beans and preparing them. A real pleasure to have people like her on the program. It's your contribution that makes it possible. So pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we don't expect any single or even any 100 listeners to carry the costs of this program. In fact, we're glad that the bulk of our budget comes from thousands of listeners just like you.
It makes for a more stable organization, lets us know that thousands of people appreciate the program they get from the programs they get from Wisconsin Public Radio. So join them. Become a member. You decide the amount. Then pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We need your help. We're still looking for 57 more pledges in the next hour. And you can help out now. It's really easy. Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And be sure to ask for that Bean by Bean of the book with your pledge of $120 or more. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, with your pledge of any amount, you'll be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour to London and Southeast England with Larry. I can tell you, Larry is a hoot to hang out with. So you want to donate now so you can have a chance at going on that trip. It's going to be so much fun. Get the details. Pledge now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I'll buy the first round. I'll buy the first round over in London. We'll sit down and I'll buy the first one in the pub.
There you go. All right.
Well, you're going to have to contribute if you want to get your name in there. And if you'd like a copy of Crescent's book, Bean by Bean. So go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Make your contribution right now.
And there's not much time left in this pledge drive. It ends tomorrow evening. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thanks, Judith. We're talking with Crescent Dragon Wagon, who is author of Bean by Bean, a cookbook. And she's also appeared on, many different outlets, but certainly on NPR's A Splendid Table, which is always, that's another program I really enjoy listening to as well. You have a question for her, a comment. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. And Crescent, we have a call from Terry in Heartland. So I'm going to give Terry a chance. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Crescent, I just wanted to tell you that I'm so happy that you're on and you wrote this new book, because I love beans as well, and I can't wait to get my hands on that book. One of my favorite recipes of yours is from your soup and bread, Dairy Hollow
yes.
book, the gypsy, I call it gypsy soup. I know you have a different name for it, but with the chickpeas and the
oh,
potatoes.
Yes, and the sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I make that for anybody that comes here. I make that for them, and everybody's over the moon about it, because there's so many tastes in there. There's ginger, there's nutmeg, there's cinnamon, and oh, it's just a fabulous soup.
Thank you. Thank you. I love that one myself.
Yes. And you were talking earlier about getting fresh beans from the latest harvest. And a couple of weeks ago at the Milwaukee Winter Market, there was a family farm up in Coloma, Wisconsin, called the Flight Family Farm, that grows beans. And they brought their beans from their last harvest down to sell.
Really? What varieties?
Oh, my gosh. I got Great Northern, and they had, she had several kinds, and one called Horto, H-O-R-T-O, and she said it was a type of cranberry bean. And what's fabulous about it is you don't have to soak it overnight, because they're fresh from the latest harvest, even though they're dried, it only took a couple hours to soak them, and then they didn't have to cook as long either, and they were so fabulous. The flavor is so much better than when those dried beans that you get them in laying around the store forever.
Yeah, the flavor and the texture, too.
Yeah.
The texture, that creaminess, unbelievable.
It is. I was just so surprised by that, and now that I know where they are, I can just go get them myself.
I haven't heard of the Horto beans, which goes to that interesting thing. I've heard of cranberry beans, baby cranberry beans, Borlotti beans, which are said to be a relative of cranberry beans, but there's an infinity of kinds. I have a neighbor who is doing seed selection each year. It's a pure white bean that has a black spot on it. It's not a cream-colored like a black-eyed pea. And every year he grows beans, and he saves the ones that have the marking that he likes. Just, you know, for the hell of it. He just is fond of that marking, and he's kind of a quirky guy. And, you know, now he's in his third year of it. And so, you know, the reasons why people seed save and end up with varieties of varieties of varieties, it's sort of the creative human spirit, but also the way of interacting with nature and, you know, with food and cooking. You have so many layers of connection. You know, let's remember that, I mean, how did America and the old world get connected? It was through the hunt for spices. Our relationship to food goes very, very deep. If you scratch under most things, you find this interesting relation. And that soup you were talking about, the gypsy soup, I think I named it Mamusia, after a character in a Robertson Davies novel who was a, you know, fabulous gypsy character, Romani character. You know, there's those, you know, ginger from Asia, nutmeg, those kind of slightly, mostly we eat them as sweet spices or in Asian food, but to find them with chickpeas is kind of a surprise when you eat it. And then the sweet potatoes add that little sweet element, and there's, you know, quite a bit of sautéed onions in that soup. And there's a lot of chickpea recipes in this one, too, both for soup and almost everything else under the sun, even desserts. Chickpeas are one bean that is quite frequently made into flour. And the reason for that is when you bake with it or cook with it, it has a very buttery kind of taste. Of course, it's way high protein. It's gluten-free. And by the way, all the recipes in the book are tagged, whether they're vegan, vegetarian, meatist, as I say. Because, you know, if you're a vegetarian, the default is people say, so when did you stop eating meat? I mean, no one says, when did you stop eating vegetables, or what made you decide to eat meat? You know, I mean, it's just so we tag that meatist so we wouldn't be, semantically ghettoizing vegetarians and gluten free. So all of them are there. But the chickpea flour, which you can probably buy at your local co-op, you can for sure buy it at your local Indian food store where it's sold as basin. It's B-E-S-A-N, but you pronounce it like a wash basin. And there's a dessert in there. It's called the Rose of Persia cake.
Yes.
Oh, that is so good.
It looks wonderful.
It is really good. It's half chickpea flour and half unbleached white flour. And it's
and there are cherries flavor in it. We're famous for our cherries, Door County cherries.
The Door County cherries, the dried ones, soaked in cherry juice. And so you put the soaked cherries in the cake proper, and then after the cake is baked, you do a glaze over it, and that cherry juice goes in the glaze, giving it just a little bit of a pink tint. And the main flavoring is rose water. And, of course, roses and cherries are distant cousins in the same family. So the flavors are very, very compatible, and they are traditional to Persia/Iraq. Iraq, mm-hmm. Iran. I'm forgetting which was Persia in the past. And but, you know, throughout the Middle East, rose water, very common flavoring. And Persia is where the rose originated. And you know, although we all, I mean, it's the national flower, but it's an it originated in Persia. And so this cake sort of combines a lot of different elements that are common in recipes there. And there's I put in a lot of lemon, too. But all by way of saying, you know, not only are there this diversity of beans, there are all these forms in which they come, like flour. In India, they make a fudge out of, not a chocolate fudge, but like a very, very, almost too sweet. It finally didn't make it into the book, a fudge out of toasted chickpea flour. But also, there's a recipe in there for a crepe that is eggless and dairy-free. It's not gluten-free.
Yeah, I saw
but
that.
It's unbelievable. It is a dead ringer for eggy crepes. And you make it with that chickpea flour. Amazing recipe that you just are astonished by. So, you know, even, you know, something as simple as a bean kind of contains all the mysteries of the universe. And you know, as you and Judith were talking about pledging and fundraising before, I was thinking, Larry, about how here's this bean, and it's this little dry thing, and then you soak it in water, and it doubles in size. And then you cook it in more things, and it gets a little bigger still, and it starts to take on flavor. And then you add your seasonings. And it's a little bit like that with pledging. It's a seed thing. It's small, and then it swells.
Mm-hmm.
And then – but the interesting thing, the way I was thinking about the analogy as you guys were talking was when I have a pot of beans cooking, and pretty soon – the steam begins to float through my house, and it's Vermont, so we zone for heating. So there are some rooms that are hot and some rooms that are cold,
yep.
And a lot of doors that are open in the summer and shut in the winter to keep the heat in. But that steam, that aromatic steam from the beans, flows under the doors and up the stairs and just kind of calls you in. And although I'm pretty much always listening to NPR when I'm in the kitchen, the steam that comes out of, you know, the donation that you make when you support an NPR affiliate like Wisconsin Public Radio, it swells in usage. And one little bean alone doesn't do anything. You know, you're not going to feed many people on one bean. but you add a lot of its fellows and you have that pot and it's cooking. And then all the elements that the various shows bring to it, and the way they kind of simmer in your mind as you listen, it just seemed to me like there's something there, and the steam is the steam of thought that goes from person to person. Hey, did you hear that story on NPR about the?
Yeah.
And so it seemed to me, you know, perhaps it's stretching it, perhaps it isn't. But
well, I have to say to our listeners that Crescent writes like she speaks. That was just a wonderful narrative you just gave us. And I was thinking as you were giving it, oh man, your book is full of these little narratives on the recipes that you have, and it just makes it so much more enjoyable and so much more adds so much pleasure to the whole experience.
Thank you so much. Well, you see, I'm a writer first, and that's the lens through which I look at the world. And when a particular subject grabs hold of me, I mean, I've also written children's books and novels and in I think 5 different genres, poetry. And so although I believe that the gold standard of a cookbook has to be recipes that work. You know, there's an unwritten contract between you and every reader.
Right.
And that contract says, if you do what I say and you spend the time and money and you get the ingredients, you know, if I say that it's going to make 6 helpings, it's going to make 6 helpings, which, by the way, is different from serve 6. 6 helpings could feed 3 people if they each have 2 helpings. but, you know, The unwritten contract is, if you do what I'm suggesting you do, you will have the results that I have promised. So while I really try to do that craft side, and you know, when I'm not cooking for a cookbook, I'm one of those throw in this, throw in that, add this. But when I cook for a cookbook, I measure everything scrupulously.
Yeah.
When I do tastings out of the book or other people, you know, I'll be at a bookstore here in Springfield, Missouri, where I am at the moment. You have caught me in, mm-hmm. at KSMU. You know, I always ask the people who are doing samples, make it exactly like in the book. So I'm just scrupulous with keeping that promise. However, Larry, thank you for saying that about the stories, because to me, the story about what makes an ingredient, or how a particular recipe came to one, or, you know, there's a piece in this book that reinterprets the story of Jacob and Esau, and any lentil recipe that you see always says sort of offhandly, well, Esau sold his birthright for lentil soup, and this lentil soup is so good that da-da-da, and before I did that, you know, I, as a writer and as a person, I always try to check received wisdom, to stop and say, well, wait a minute, is this true? So I went back. I did not go so far as to learn Aramaic and read it in the original script, but I did read the story in the King James edition of the Bible, and I found a story that fascinated me, or my interpretation of it, which was quite different from anyone that I heard. The mother, Rebecca, who's the mother of these twins, is having an uneasy pregnancy, and she feels that two children in her sort of wrestling with each other. And as the King James Version says, she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord in those days spoke very clearly and directly, if you're to believe the King James Bible, unlike now when many people, I believe, put words into God's mouth. But anyway, God tells her, the Lord tells her, that you have two nations within you, and the older will serve the younger. And when the babies are born, Esau is born first, and he's red and covered with hair. He has a hairy body. He's not a very attractive baby. And as time goes on, he grows up to love the wild open places, and he's his father's favorite. He's a great hunter and games person and likes to spend a lot of time out alone. And his brother, Jacob, is born holding his heel, holding Esau's heel, and he prefers to stay more with the tents, and he's his mother's favorite, and he's, you know, he prefers more the community of other people. But since Esau was born 5 minutes earlier, Esau is the one that, you know, wasn't even clear on what a birthright was, but it means under the laws where the oldest son inherits, Esau's going to inherit all the land and tents, and it probably kind of hacked Jacob off for a long time because Esau didn't even care about it. So one day Esau comes in from hunting and he smells the stew cooking and he says, give me some of that lentil stew, I'm starving. And Jacob, and when I picture this, I picture Jacob crossing his hands and saying, not until you promise me your birthright. And Esau says, what do I care about a birthright? I'm starving. Give me some lentil soup. No, not until you. So he says, fine, take the birthright. And
that's how it happened.
That's how it happened. But if you really consider this from a symbolic point of view, that's about the time that all this was taking place. That was the moment that human beings were going from hunter and gatherer to farmers, to agriculturalists.
Yeah.
So here's the first son who's looking kind of wild and hairy. He's the man of the open fields. But the second who's born holding, he's literally following in the footsteps the agriculturalist. And when I read this, I almost fell over. I had never seen this interpretation anywhere else. And, you know, I can't really believe that it's original because, to me, it jumped out at me and I thought, this is just something else. But I don't think I've not been able to find anybody else that said it. But to me, read symbolically, it is a clear story of the human race's development.
Crescent Dragon Wagon, our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our spring membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson joining us. The goal of this campaign, simple, raise the funds we need to pay for the programs you listen to. And because you value public radio, please take care of public radio. Do your part. Contribute now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Larry, we're still looking for 37 more pledges in the next, 35 minutes. Just about one a minute. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs we know you count on. Thanks if you've already given. If not, give now. The time is now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We usually don't give our opinions on the air, but when we talk about Wisconsin Public Radio, we make an exception. We're not afraid to say that we think WPR is a unique radio service, a service well worth your support. So I hope you'll take a moment to voice your opinion right now. Make a pledge of support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. Consider asking for Bean by Bean, a cookbook, as your thank you gift when you give $120 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Boy, you know, I can't remember exactly when I first started contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. It must have been a number of years ago. What I always appreciated about Wisconsin Public Radio was its unbiased, balanced approach to the news and to the issues of the day. I'm Chet Gerlach, Wisconsin Public Radio Association board member from Madison, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for thoughtful, balanced, and timely news without commercials.
It's our source as well. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson. Listener support, such a big part of why this program is available to you right now. So make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you know, Larry, giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 couldn't be easier. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time.
Dollar or two a week, that adds up to $50, $100 or so for the year. And all year long, you'll enjoy this program and all the other programs you count on. So make your contribution at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And please give as generously as you can.
Make no mistake, WPR is your radio station. We create and produce programs with your interests in mind. We aim to serve you and even exceed your expectations sometimes.
And it's not an exaggeration to say that listeners are always in our thoughts during our daily work. WPR is your station because you help fund it. I hope you'll help us fund it right now by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help pay for the programs you depend on. We're looking for 36 more pledges in about the next 34 minutes. Make yours right now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking that your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, you're right about that. They do, and we thank you for that.
But for you to get the quality and variety of programs you're used to on WPR and expect, we also need contributions from individual listeners. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie, meaning we couldn't do this without you. Make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs you listen to on WPR. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can get Bean by Bean, the book for your pledge of $120 or more. You're going to love this
book. It's a great book. And a great way to support Wisconsin Public Radio is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll be making a monthly donation right from your bank account or your credit or debit card. Your support will automatically renew every year.
And in the long run, the more sustainers we have, the less we'll have to rely on pledge drives to ask for support. So think about becoming a sustaining member of WPR today. It's a great way to support the station. And here's how to get started. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Maybe you appreciate WPR for the good it brings to the whole community. For you, having WPR available is personally important, we know that, but it's also important to you that everyone in the state has access to in-depth news, thoughtful discussions, and great music and entertainment.
Yeah, so become a member with a contribution, any amount really, and you're not only doing something good for yourself, I think you're really helping out the whole community. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The goal we have this hour of 65 pledges is important. It's not just a number pulled out of the air. It's based on what we need to pay for the programs you expect from Wisconsin Public Radio. So help us reach this goal right now. The pledge drive only goes until tomorrow evening. Pledge your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 33 more pledges in the next 31 minutes or so. Help now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're going to go to the news next here, but call now at 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR.org. We'll be back with Crescent after a look at the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here having a wonderful time today talking with Crescent Dragon Wagon about the wonderful and delicious World of Beans. She's a James Beard award-winning author, 7 cookbooks to her credit, the most recent Bean by Bean, a cookbook. And I'm telling you, it's a wonderful book. She's a great writer, and the recipes are delectable. I can't wait to, I'm telling you, I can't wait to, my wife is just can't wait to get her hands on this book. And I'm looking forward to taking it home. And looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Give a question for her. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Please feel free to join in. Deborah in Lac des Flambeaux has a question for you. So let's go.
I am ready to be questioned.
All right, Deborah, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. My husband loves beans, and I've been trying to learn new recipes, so I'm very excited about your book. But my question is, I live in an area where I don't get to buy in bulk, so my sister who lives in Madison offered to bring me up dried beans. Excuse me. I've got allergies early this year.
Well, all the pollen's out with the early spring.
But how do you store beans so they don't get moldy and go bad? Or do dried beans go bad?
Dried beans do not go bad in the sense of getting moldy.
Okay.
But you want to eat them within a relatively... I always tell a story. There's a soup in there called harira, which is the soup that Muslims usually break their fast with during the month of Ramadan. It's a wonderful soup. And the first time I was making it, it has a lot of ingredients. It's fairly complicated. And I thought I had everything. But it called for like, you know, a quarter cup of lentils, a half a cup of lentils. And I didn't. So I dug through all my shelves, and in the back, I found a little jar of lentils, and they were just enough, and I threw them in. Well, that jar must have been there for a very long time because those lentils refused to soften, and they kind of ruined this otherwise luscious soup. So, you know, we go through a lot of beans in our house. They don't really have a chance to get old. So
if
a bean,
I were to practice making hummus in different flavors and she were to bring up like 10 pounds of dried chickpeas, I could leave them in the plastic bag she brought them in and they'd be fine?
That would be fine. I usually put beans in glass jars just because I love the way they look. And, you know, one of the things to also recall, the basic idea of hummus, which is chickpeas pureed with sesame butter or tahini, olive oil, garlic, lemon, and, you know, whatever flavorings the person is inclined to do. That idea translates in a lot of ways. There's a recipe in there for what I call hillbilly hummus. And hillbilly hummus, the chickpeas are replaced by black-eyed peas. The sesame butter is replaced by peanut butter. The lemon juice is replaced by cider vinegar. And so you can kind of take the idiom and play with it. So I would encourage you, first of all, to rather than getting 10 pounds of any one kind of bean, get 2 or 3 pounds each of several different ones and try them.
And
the hummus, there's a recipe in there for 7-layer Middle Eastern mountain is what I call it. And again, it was a translation of idioms. I don't know if it's popular in Wisconsin, but in both of my communities, I live part-time in Arkansas and part-time in Vermont. My growing season is Vermont, however. The Middle Eastern mountain has, it kind of dittos that potluck joy dish that's always the first to be cleared out, which is usually done Mexican style with refried beans on the bottom and then a layer of grated cheddar cheese, layer of salsa, maybe a layer of cilantro, layer of mashed avocado. The whole thing is kind of topped with sour cream, chopped olives on top, corn chips. So if you translate that to Middle Eastern flavors, and we seem to be mentioning the Middle East a lot, and that is a, you know, there's such good bean uses there. But the 7-layer Middle Eastern mountain, it's hummus on the bottom instead of refried beans. And instead of salsa, there's a combination of chopped chili, diced radishes, seeded diced tomatoes, scallions, that gets sprinkled over. There's a mixture of, instead of cilantro, it's dill, parsley, and mint. Mint is an herb that I don't think we cook with enough in this country, and that's finely minced, sprinkled over. There's black Greek olives. There's feta cheese, replacing the grated cheddar that would be your standard thing. And the top is iced with a nice, thick Greek yogurt.
Oh,
and you would serve it with pita chips.
That sounds wonderful. Deborah and I are salivating here.
I hope you all have eaten lunch so you're not drooling on the equipment or something. That's really good.
The one thing then I would do is have her buy a couple pounds of chickpeas, a couple pounds of black-eyed peas, and because of the refried bean idea you gave me, maybe a couple pounds of pinto beans. Would those be
fried? Pintos are great.
Oh,
and
excellent.
And black beans. There's a recipe in Bean by Bean for CD, that's me as opposed to compact disc, CD's chili mole. And we just made it again at a tasting. And every time I eat it, now, you know, I know some parts of the world have a more spicy taste than others. So when I'm down here in Arkansas and in the Ozarks, you know, if people, it's Arkansas is adjacent to Texas. Texas is adjacent to Mexico. We like our food hot.
Yep.
But in Vermont, you know, people like the heat toned down a little bit. But the chili mole has a very, it is hot, but it moderates as you taste it through kind of sweetness, richness. There's layers of spices in it, including some of the sweet spices, like a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of an anise seed, and that you can do. I think the recipe I've given has it with black beans, but it works just as well with pintos. And that is, especially if your husband is a bean lover, that one people just sort of dissolve on the floor in a pool of happy jelly. And there's a black bean soup in there that is very simple, that is just so good. And a lot of bean dishes are better the second day than the first day.
Yeah, that's a nice thing about it. One of the nice things.
Hence peas porridge hot, peas porridge cold, peas porridge in the pot 9 days old. Yeah. Well, if you keep eating it every 9 days, each day it's going to be tastier.
Deborah, thank you so much. Patricia wondered, says, I cook my beans in a pressure cooker to save time. If I change the liquid after a few minutes, will that remove those gas-causing sugars?
Yes. I beans are so diverse in every way. And one I would do, even when I use a pressure cooker, if I have the time, I still soak them overnight in a large quantity of water.
Oh.
And then when I pressure them, it's really fast to cook them. But, you know, I've had emergency situations where I needed to cook them fast. So I would start with them dry in a pressure cooker. And, yes, I would bring it up to pressure with as much water as you could have. You know, in the pressure cooker, you're limited to how much water you can use. And the more water you use, the more oligosaccharides you can rinse out. But bring it up to a hard boil, turn it off, let the pressure drop naturally, drain it, repeat. If you do that two or three times, you can de-oligosaccharide it while you're cooking it. And then in your final pressurization, if you want, you could add whatever seasonings you're heading towards to cook with the beans. You can, you know, whether it's bay leaf or a dried chili ancho or some coriander seed but of course you don't want to add salt until it's pretty much almost tender, because it will make the skin toughen up on some varieties of beans. But, you know, pressure cooker, I wish fewer people were pressure cooker phobic. The new generation of them, you would really have to work at it to get it to explode. you don't have to be afraid of them. So, and they make, you know, I mean, you can cook beans very slowly. You can soak it overnight, rinse it, put it in the crock pot, go away all day, come back, and it's done.
And it's done.
Or you can cook it really fast in a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Or you can cook it lazy by going to the cupboard and pulling out a can of beans. And, you know, and I do give some recipes for canned beans. I do not believe you will burn in hell for using them from time to time. But it is, they do just taste a world better cooked from scratch. And it's cheaper, which also reminds me, again, going back to your fundraiser idea, I was thinking, you know, just so people get a little of the economics here, if they make a $120 pledge, they get a bean by bean, which is $15.95.
Mm-hmm.
So that more or less knocks out that 20. And then the rest, you know, 120 is a bite for a lot of people now. But I think they can do it month by month. It's $10
a month. $10
for 120. And they're going to make up the 120 by using, if they use the book.
they use the book.
They suddenly have, you know, if you had one sort of plant-centric, bean-centric day a week, especially if you ate a meat-heavy diet before, you are going to save that money, get a book, and support the radio at the same time, the radio that you love. And, you know, that if you're like me, as I say, the main time I listen to NPR is when I'm in the kitchen chopping and sautéing and simmering. And and so that's like the secret ingredient. I mean, most people think the secret ingredient is love and caring. And then the other secret ingredients are, oh, I never thought to put anise in that or whatever the thing is in the dish. True, true. But, I mean, it's maybe the other secret ingredient for me is that I'm listening to NPR and connecting with the whole world as I'm cooking. And as I'm cooking, usually I'm connecting with the whole world through the seasonings, the scents. You know, if I'm doing curry and sautéing ginger and garlic and cumin seeds and coriander seeds and turmeric, you know, the spice market is floating in through, you know, what I'm inhaling as I'm cooking and scents and the, you know, food that's coming. But it's also I'm coming intellectually into contact with the whole world through the kind of programming that you get from NPR. And I don't know, I must confess, I always hate it when there are fundraisers, so I always throw money at it early. And where we are, we get Vermont NPR and New Hampshire NPR, and I give them both some money. But anyway, so my publisher is throwing in this book with those donations, so Lordy mercy, go get them.
Oh. Crescent, thank you so much.
It is my pleasure.
It is a real pleasure. Crescent Dragon Wagon, her most recent book, Bean by Bean, a cookbook. And isn't she a wonderful speaker? And she writes like she speaks. And the narrative in the book, in her book, is just is captivating. And the recipes are to die for. They are to die for, aren't they, Judith?
They really are. I've got my eye on several of them. So I have to live up to, what did you call me? The biggest bean cooker in Wisconsin or something?
She's the bean maven.
the bean diva. How's that?
Bean diva. Oh, my goodness. And Cressa, I wanted to mention, too, that she joined us today from the studios of KSMU in Springfield, Missouri. I want to thank the folks at KSMU as well. And I want to thank you, if you've contributed already to our pledge drive. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. If you haven't, this would be a good time right now. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're making progress on our
goal. We are. You know, we're kind of in the home stretch for the pledge drive. It ends tomorrow evening. We're in the real home stretch for today's show. We're looking to get 16 more pledges in the next 10 minutes. I know we can do it. Your pledge right now helps keep this program going strong. Make your contribution. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying this conversation with Crescent Dragon Wagon, James Beard Award-winning author, about growing and cooking beans. We had several people calling in who say they love her other books, mm-hmm, and really enjoy the recipes that she has. Her new book has many, many more of those great recipes. So I hope you'll take a few minutes to make this hour and the many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs you enjoy every day. Then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Like Larry said, this hour you can get Bean by Bean, the book you've been hearing about that's been making your mouth water most likely. You can get that for a contribution of $120 or more. Your donation supports the programs you love, and you can also get a nice thank you gift and a very useful one at that for your pledge of $120 or more. Great recipes. Larry, tell you what, if we make our goal of getting 16 more pledges, I'm going to make you the 7-layer Middle Eastern mountain.
Oh, man. Doesn't that sound wonderful?
It sounds great, and I'm on record saying that. So make me pay up. Make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you don't, I'll have to call in 15 or 16 different times and so I can get that salad.
Warning, listening to Wisconsin Public Radio can be addictive. Don't believe me? Just ask our listeners.
I am an addict for NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. You do a great job.
I'm hopelessly addicted to public radio, and it's to the point I'm actually starting to send you people money. I've been doing it for years.
Can I sue public radio for being addicted to talk radio? I can't shut you guys off. You're wonderful.
I don't know what to do. Maybe I could try sending you painful amounts of money.
We more than welcome painful amounts of money, and we gladly accept whatever you can afford. Call in now with your pledge. Here's the number.
It's 888-202-2552. That's the number to call. But you can also go online. That's the easy way to do it, at WPR.org. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson, talking and asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe your gift is $50 or $100 or $120, or maybe it's $500. Whatever the amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for this station. Perhaps you can make a $1,200 contribution. That's $100 a month. That money helps make this station available to everyone.
Help us stay strong and continue to grow with a contribution of $120 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And of course, a gift any amount is welcome and appreciated at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, when I tell people that I work with Larry Mueller, the first thing they say is, oh, Larry just sounds like such a nice guy. Can he possibly be that nice a guy in person? I say, he's that nice and more. And then they go on to talk about, oh, and I love when you talk about birds, or I love when you talk about food, or, oh, you know, I got great advice about home repairs. Larry makes a point of making sure that we are bringing you important information, useful information, engaging guests, and that we have a good time doing it. And hopefully you feel like you're part of that fun too. I know you appreciate this program, and it's a show that you don't get anywhere else. We focus so much on Wisconsin and the wonderful things about our state. So show your support now for this show and for Larry with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for eight more pledges. Eight more pledges
single
in the next five.
Digits.
Yes, in the next five midget. You know what I wanted to say? We were single digit midgets because we were down to eight.
We are single digit midgets. I especially, at all of 5 foot one and a half or so, am a single digit midget.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. This is a great time. Because I want that sound. Judith's going to make this sound.
I know. I'm going to make the seven-layer Middle Eastern mountain for Larry if we get seven more now. Seven more
down
pledges.
To seven. Well, good. All right. There's somebody who went to WPR.org or they phoned 888-202-2552. I hope you'll do that.
And you can listen to WPR really pretty much anywhere, on the radio, whether you're in your car, at home, or at work, or you can listen online at WPR.org anytime a radio's not handy, and you can subscribe to the podcast, too, so you never have to miss out on anything.
Wisconsin Public Radio is in your life no matter what you're doing or where you are, so I hope you'll pledge now to support this access to great radio at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Remember, you can get Bean by Bean, the cookbook by Crescent Dragon Wagon. The book is for your pledge of $120 or more.
And your employer might match your donation. You could double the value of your gift to WPR. So be sure to check with your employer on that.
But you can, if you don't know whether they match or not, you can pledge now. That's the most important part. And then you can ask your human resources department the next time you get a chance. But the important part right now, pledge your support to this program and to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And new members are very important to Wisconsin Public Radio. Big thanks to all our first-time donors. We have 28 new ones.
That's great.
Yeah, they pledged so far this hour. The more people who support WPR, the more stable our financial situation is, and the better we're able to withstand some of those economics up and down.
It's really true. So if you've never given before,
we're at one.
Know that you're actually, that's three to the good. I owe you a seven-layer Middle Eastern mountain. Know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the same strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount and then give at WPR.org. 888-202-2552. Just because I'm already committed to the mountain doesn't mean you shouldn't still call.
Yeah, that's right. Think about the programs you love. How often do you listen? How long? Think about your budget. What amount will make you feel good after you've pledged? Think of that amount and then pledge online at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've got great momentum going, but we really need your pledge now to WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And be sure to ask for the Bean by Bean, the book, with your pledge of $120 or more when you pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and only a couple of minutes to get that book.
And not only can you get the great book by Crescent Dragon Wagon, Bean by Bean, it's a gorgeous book, great recipes, but with your pledge of any amount, you'll be entered in a drawing for a trip for two to a garden tour of London and Southeast England, and you'll be going with Larry. I have to tell you, this is going to be such
a fun
trip. I have traveled with Larry, not quite as far as London, but he's great, and there could to be, what could you ask for more? You're going to be traveling with Larry. You're going to be seeing amazing sights, gorgeous flowers, and you're going to be traveling with other public radio listeners. I mean, that sounds like a great trip to me. So get the details and pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you can get those details by going to WPR.org, which is really cool. We have a WPR friend from Stoughton who says we made a donation on behalf of our daughter, who was born March 19th, 2012.
Wow, happy month or two-week birthday.
It's the start of a lifetime of listening, loving, and supporting public radio. Thank you very much.
And Renee from Weston says, my husband and I have been listening to WPR for a long time, and we feel the need to share in the cost and valuable service. Not much time left in this pledge drive. Ends tomorrow evening. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And thank you.